It's 10:20. We'll call the meeting to order, House Special Committee on Economic Development, Trade and Tourism. It is Tuesday, February 7th. President, Vice Chair Olson, Representative Keller, Representative Foster, Representative Thompson, Representative Jewell, and myself, Bob Herron. If you have a cell phone, please turn it off or silent. Today we're going to, before we ask the commissioner and the deputy commissioner to come forward for the department, we're going to take care of House Concurrent Resolution 19, Oil and Gas Policy, Norway Policy Tour, Lessons Learned before us. And we do have some amendments in front of us, and so just so it's, Representative Keller, why don't you move, just so it's, we'll just start over. So I don't know where we're at, but Representative Keller, could you move amendment M2?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move amendment number M2.
Okay, it's all in front of the committee members. Is there any objection to adding this to the resolution?
I object.
Yes, sir.
Would you like me to speak to it?
Yes, sir.
I would assume that you're trying to keep this clean. And I believe if we take something that's not related to the original purpose of the trip and we start cluttering it up with education and the items in both of these amendments, that we may end up with a Christmas tree that may not look like what you started with. But that's my personal feeling.
Okay. To your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The amendment that I propose is I fully intend for it to align with the sponsor's intent. And what it would do in lane 5, after the word benefit, it would insert the words private sector job expansion, affordable energy options, comma, and value-added options, comma, and then revenue generation to continue on like it was. My reason for putting it in there was just that in both the original presentation and in every presentation since then, on Norway, private job expansion was listed as one of the desirable goals, and there was good documentation that it existed. And then we had testimony the last time that different Alaskans have different goals, and I think this just puts them in a comprehensive list. It's not just the revenue generation, or maybe it is, but to expand on that a little bit, it's jobs and value-added and affordable energy for all Alaskans. So I meant for it to be a friendly amendment, and if it does distract from the intent of the sponsor, I'd be more than happy to withdraw my amendment.
I believe I can clear this up real quick. I had my amendments in the wrong order, and I will fully support your amendment and with all my objections to the way they're worded. I guess it'll be no amendment. M3 and M4 were the ones I was referring to, and I apologize to the committee on that.
Okay, objection on M2 has been withdrawn. Representative Tuck?
And if you don't mind, I'd like to put an objection on it just for purposes of discussion a little bit further.
Sure. Representative Tuck, to amendment to M2, excuse me.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I wanted to bring it up only because Statoil, I don't know if the employees of Statoil, and that's the partnership that we see Norway having with the oil industry, which allows them to be able to make decisions based on information that they would receive that they normally would not receive had they not been in partnership. And I don't know if those employees are employees of the private sector or if they're employees of the public sector. I have no idea. And so I was going to offer an amendment to the amendment to just say jobs, period. But I wanted to check with the sponsor to see. I mean, I'm okay with private sector jobs also, but I didn't want to limit it. I just wanted to open it up to all jobs.
Thank you for the question. the reason I would go private sector job expansion is because that has been the emphasis of the people that have went to Norway, as they were really impressed with the private sector job expansion. And frankly, that was one of the most encouraging things to me. And so my intent is to have private sector specify.
In the case, I will not offer my amendment, and then I will remove my objection.
Okay. Objection has been removed. Seeing no other, Representative Keller's amendment M.2 has been adopted. Okay. Where our colleague is at for her to speak to Amendment 3 and 4.
And, Mr. Chair, if I may, I was asked to introduce those two amendments on her behalf.
Okay. All right. So we have someone to speak to it. Just for the record, Debbie, is that Representative Tuck and Representative Munoz have joined us. Okay. Let's move on to proposed amendment M.3. Representative Tuck, and could you, so everybody knows, which one is, please read an amendment.
Yes, and the new amendment M.3 on page 2, line 21, insert new sentence reading, number 13. Norway has developed a free, comprehensive, and rigorous educational system spanning preschool to graduate school that provides professional expertise. Nope, that's not the one. I'm sorry. Let me get this one over here.
Okay.
Good thing we're reading it. Norway has developed a free, comprehensive, and rigorous education system spanning preschool to graduate school that provides professional expertise for the oil and gas sector and contributes to a vibrant national economy.
Okay. We'll I'll object for discussion. Representative Olson?
I will. Would you like me to repeat them again?
Please.
I'll object to both M3 and M4 because I don't believe they have any bearing to the scope of the trip or the intent of the report that is now before us in the form of a resolution. I think if we open it up to things that are not material to the intent of the trip, that we're going to be opening this up, it'll be just like Christmas in February. And I'll ask for a vote when everybody has a chance to weigh in.
Representative Tuck?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think that a key to a strong economy is a solid education system, and I think it was very clear about the education system that people learned about when they went to the trip to Norway. I did not go to Norway, but I know that people were really impressed with the educational system, and it was very compelling to learn that Norway is sending experts around the world because they are so knowledgeable in the oil and gas, and because they've invested so much in their post-education system as well to make sure that they are the leaders in that. And I think that's an important component to what the state of Alaska should be striving for, is making sure not only are we graduating people of the best caliber in the world, but that we also from there go into higher education to make sure that we remain leaders in technology and promoting a stronger economy for our state.
So, Representative Tuck, on in your comments, with the permission of Representative Gardner, so she is inserting
it's a whereas and then a therefore, I believe. No, it's just
page 2.
Yeah, it's a whereas and then a further resolved to go along with that.
So I guess we haven't got amendment number 4 is related to amendment number 3, but so Representative Olson, is if we were to leave in the whereas, but your concern is with the resolve, or with the concern with the whereas and the resolve?
Certainly, they don't have a bearing to the intent of the trip or the work product. We went over to or. The people who went to Norway went over to find out what Norway was doing different and how we might learn from their experience. I don't see how this has any bearing on that particular topic. There are a lot of things that Norway has that they do differently than us that we might explore at one point in time, but I don't believe that was the intent of the either the trip or the resolution that's before us. Yeah, my concern is Christmas trees, particularly on the floor. You may end up with something that is not what you intended it to be. And I might add, I support it in its current form.
Thank you. Representative Munoz?
Thank you. Thank you, Chairman, I agree with the statement in the amendment, but I also agree with Representative Olson in that, you know, everything we do legislatively when we're looking at bills, we're trying to stay consistent with the title of the bill or the resolution. And the title of this resolution encourages investment in Alaska's, in the state's oil and gas industry. It's not dealing with an education policy issue. And so I do agree with Representative Olson in not including this language.
Representative Keller?
Yeah, I just wanted to say I agree with the objection and also, and I just wanted to point out that one of the differences between Norway and us is they have a cradle-to-grave welfare system, and we, I think by including that, for example, it'd be very distracting to the purpose of the bill. We want to learn what we can without getting caught in the weeds, and I think this has a potential of causing us problems. So.
Thank you. Representative Joel?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I read this, I wonder about creating an expectation by implying that we should go in a certain direction to be supportive of the oil and gas industry when I think of efforts that are currently being made and others in the area of job opportunities that are local, like in education, like in healthcare, like in a whole bunch of other things. Where does it all stop? Because you can make the nexus to the oil patch any way you want. I mean, but I think Representative Olson is right in that once you start Christmas treeing, it's not that I don't disagree, but, you know, I can't think of a field we... Well, like maybe underwater basket weaving, fields that we don't need in the state. But when you come to the efforts that we've put to support ANCEPT over the years, the efforts that are currently going on in other areas, whether it's education and or healthcare, there's a way to make the nexus. Oh, and so I don't want to put ourselves in a situation of maybe. Even though resolutions kind of are sort of message to self, of creating an expectation that we may never be able to fulfill. It's not that we don't support education. I mean, to the tune of $800 million, we support a university system. And so I'd be a little hesitant to do it from that regard, even though it doesn't diminish my support for these kinds of things in other venues.
And Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Jewell. Underwater basket weaving does keep the reeds pliable, though.
Good for the lungs.
Representative Tuck.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think the reason why Representative Gardner brought this forward is because some of the testimony that we heard, especially when 36% of Norway's residents have a postgraduate degree with a master's degree or higher, and compared to Alaska, it would be 9.8%. And I think it's just some of those testimonies that we had heard is the reason why she brought this forward. And anytime I have, and personally speaking, anytime I can get an educational component in there, because I do think it's really important for our future, I'm going to support it. But hearing the comments I heard now, and seeing that there might not be support for it, I will go ahead and withdraw on her behalf. Hopefully she'd be happy with me. On her behalf, I'll withdraw the motion.
M3.
Yeah, Representative Tuck, I was going to ask you to withdraw. I mean, the dialogue is fine. And, of course, the member of our committee can address this, you know, at a later committee or on the floor. But appreciate you withdrawing, and I would ask that you withdraw the... We won't even offer M4. Okay, so I don't know if there's any other amendments. Now, seeing no other amendments, we're at discussion. Is there discussion on House Concurrent Resolution 19? Seeing none?
One comment. I'd like to commend the people that went for the work product. I personally was tempted to go on the trip. I had other conflicts there. I probably would have been there, and I'd probably be making similar comments. And I might add, I'm half Norwegian. But having said that, I also know that this year the price of butter during the Christmas season in Norway was $500 a pound. And I don't expect anybody to blame me, so I will bring in the newspaper articles on that. Norway has a, I believe, a 38% value-added tax, which is one of the ways that they can support the cradle to grave, and they also have the highest personal income tax, I believe, in Europe, probably the world. Mm-hmm. But that's why I'm not living in Norway, but I still have relatives there.
Okay. Any other comments? Representative Olson, I would ask for a motion to move.
I would move that we move HCR 19 out of committee.
With individual recommendations?
With individual recommendations, and I don't believe we have a fiscal need.
Okay. Seeing no objection, this resolution is on to the next stop. Okay, Commissioner and Deputy Commissioner, if you could look forward. The next item on our agenda is an update from the Department on Broadband Task Force, Division of Economic Development, Tourism Section, and it's wide open after that. So, Commissioner, if you could put yourself on the record, and let's start off with broadband.
Well, it's good morning, and thank you. I'm Susan Bell, Commissioner for the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. This morning with me is Curtis Thayer, Deputy Commissioner, and we believe we have Juanita Ayers, Division Director of the Division of Economic Development, online.
Thanks, Rob.
This morning, Curtis, with your permission, we'll begin with the Division of Economic Development. We were asked to highlight some of the accomplishments and activities since the legislative session concluded last year, then go into the broadband initiative, which our department has had a significant role, and then finish with Alaska Tourism Marketing Update, which I'll give myself, given the unique circumstances we're in, and my significant personal engagement. So with this, I'll turn the mic towards Curtis and ask him to begin.
Curtis Thayer, Deputy Commissioner of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. As far as the Division of Economic Development update for this year, some of the basics for the Division of Economic Development is it oversees the timber, fisheries, and minerals development. It also has financing, tourism, and marketing within its realm, as well as the Made in Alaska program, the Alaska Product Preference, and also the ARDRs. And with that, since last session, there's been a lot of work on underutilized species, mariculture, and outreach to seafood processors on our regulatory and workforce and product form issues. We've also seen a robust commercial fishing and small business lending, resulting in 313 new loans, up from 268 the previous year for a value of $30 million. There's been significant work done for the outreach to forest products industry as part of the Timber Jobs Task Force, as well as some DED initiatives. And last month, we did have a forestry specialist start in Fairbanks. We had a development specialist vacancy there, had some difficulty filling the position, and it was filled last month with somebody from Fairbanks. We've also been working on the regulatory development for a regulation development alternative energy loan fund, which was capitalized at the end of last year. We've also seen an increase in film and television productions through the incentive program, through enhanced marketing and strong industry engagement. This is Mawak Sweeney, as he was in the Anchorage premiere of Big Miracle. Last year, we saw 33 film productions with an estimated credit of $21 million. Pre-qualify, 17 protections were approved of tax credits for $6.3 million. The Big Miracle was not included in that number. It was just finalized last month for a tax credit of $9.6 million, and that had a ground spend in Alaska of approximately $30 million. And that was filmed in 2010. Also, we just had a movie called Frozen Ground wrap production in November. It's about a $20 million spend, so about a third less than The Big Miracle. And then there's currently a film that's scouting Alaska with a potential budget of $100 million, of which about $60 million would be spent in Alaska. And that's more of an action thriller using Alaska as a backdrop for Russia. So it's kind of an interesting dynamic there.
Deputy Commissioner, since we're in this section, yesterday, of course, in Representative Costello's subcommittee, we got into these credits. And so I asked the commissioner, and so I'll ask you today, is this question is in the news, $9.6 million was a credit for a $30 million film. So what do you say to the critics about that much credit toward a project in the movie industry?
Well, the total spend was $40 million, $30 million in Alaska. Theirs represented approximately, about 30%. The tax credit they could have qualified for using the complete program was 44%. So they used about 30%, and that's been the average for most productions, is around the 30% mark. There's been a few that hit the 44. One of the reasons they got close to the 30 with the ground spend is they filmed in rural Alaska. That's a 2% credit. If you film in the shoulder season, you get another 2%. Depending on your workforce, with Alaska Hire, that increases it. So as far as the program, it is working as designed, and they are using they're using shoulder seasons, they're using the rural Alaska, they're using a lot of the smaller credits to attain a larger credit for their movie. So it is working, and quite frankly, I don't know how many have had a chance to see the movie, but for $9.6 million, I think the exposure for Alaska, just in the tourism side aspect and showing Alaska, we couldn't buy that type of marketing for the dollars that the state invested for, I think, what the outcome is going to be to showcase Alaska.
And the subcommittee members also wondered, you know, of course we saw the news article and the 9.6 was the big number, but how can we get the message out that translate the collateral benefit, hotel beds, you know, those numbers, how can we share that with the public so that there is a balance between the 9.6 million credit and the collateral financial benefit to just ordinary folks in Alaska?
If I can jump back in again, Susan Bell, one of the things that we recognize is that we were fortunate to have a more comprehensive economic impact analysis of what then was Everybody Love Wales, now Big Miracle. And I think that from the department standpoint, first of all, the results of that were about a $16 million economic impact on the state. Oh, should I speak up? The Anchorage Economic Development Corporation contracted for, last year at this time, contracted for an economic impact study. And the production we're talking about, Big Miracle, was about $16 million in impacts on Alaska, direct and indirect. And so recognizing, you know, I think from a department standpoint, recognizing what data we track, what economic analysis we do, I think it, as we go forward, and if the whether the program remains the same or if it's refined, I think it begs the question of what additional analysis can we do internally or contract for so we have that kind of information, because we're tracking much less detail than that full economic impact study revealed.
Representative Foster.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wonder if there's a, I was going to ask for maybe a copy of the impact statement, but if it's long, I was just looking for something that was maybe a summary. I don't know if there's like a one-page sheet, and I'm kind of getting to what the chairman is looking at, and that is how can we convey to the public that, you know, the cost benefit here is such that it is beneficial, and so I don't know if there's something that's simple that can be provided, but if there is, that would be great. Thank you.
And through the chair, Representative Foster, again, I appreciate that Anchorage Economic Development Corporation had contracted for that, but the study lends itself to having the executive summary be distributed, and we'll do that through the chair.
So, I'm obviously elsewhere in the building, not in this committee, there's legislation to continue film tax credits, and then there's tax credits and another type of legislation. So how does the administration, your department, whether it where film tax credits is and where the other tax credit legislation in another venue, so how does the administration balance, well, we should give lots of tax credits over here and maybe not so much over here? How do you reconcile the debate that's going on, where this tax film credit is being debated and doesn't seem to be moving, as well as the other tax credits? So How does the administration balance that out?
Chairman, I think in our budget subcommittee, while it's early in this process, we've had some good discussion on two fronts, and one of them is the more we're able to have effective performance measures, it gives the legislature information at what cost and what return, and so having more of a the efficiency measures and the effectiveness measures capture that and capture it more consistently. So I think that gives the legislature again more consistent data. I also think from an incentive standpoint, you want to incentivize things when you're trying to change behavior. So if you're attracting a new industry, attracting new investment, I think that needs to be kept in mind. And I think now with the several years of experience that we have under our belt, it's a good time to be looking at the program, looking at it in context of what are our competitors, and seeing if there are refinements that we like to make. So, because again, we have now this with Big Miracle just having opened nationally this last weekend. This is the first major feature film that's been released under this program.
Representative Jewell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm wondering, I know it's been a short period, but pretty intense period of the film industry in Alaska and this exposure that we're getting on virtually every channel that's out there. And then not to mention the movie industry and feature films. My question is, if you're looking down the line, where do you see this going in relation to, one, kind of long-term development, two, the states that are closest to Alaska but beneath us, are they going to one-up us and try and take the credits away so that we may have to one-up them and do something different? So I'm just trying to get a sense now that we're in the hunt, what are we going to do to stay competitive, considering that, from the legislature and from the state and even from private industry, we've said we have one economy up here, it's oil. And how much of an impact does developing another type of economy play into all this?
Through the chair, Representative Jewell, looking ahead, one of the things that we would like to see is that we have enough of a consistency in this that we're able to really develop our own workforce. And I know this year our department's working with the Department of Labor on a training grant that was funded by the legislature. Also, it's been pointed out by our Alaskans that are in this industry or want to be in the industry, as well as the producers that we've talked about, we have some infrastructure gaps. So I think for us to fully realize the full economic benefits, that these are things that we'll want to address, and I think it takes a certain amount of visibility for people to invest. Where we are right now is July of 2013. The current program would sunset. So I think ideally that we would incentivize to the extent that we would not get this business, and we would maximize the local employment and spending benefits for ourselves.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Tuck.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to answer the question on what are other states going to one up on us, fortunately, Alaska, we are in the place to be right now in the United States, in my personal opinion, is Alaska. And other states are getting hit very hard with the economy, and they're doing quick reactions trying to overcome their huge deficits. And one thing they don't want to do right now is lose income. So that's, I think, the reason why you see in the lower 48 some of these tax credits being removed. So I don't think they have the capability of one-upping us with their fiscal situations down there. And one thing about going from a five-year program to a 10-year program, it's really, as pointed out by the commissioner, is we have workforce development and infrastructure needs. And for people to get the return on investments and be able to capitalize on those investments, they're going to need something longer term. And even 10 years really for them isn't enough, but 10 years is something that's doable. And so just to address the need from going from 5 to 10 years, I think for the workforce development and for the infrastructure, it's necessary.
Okay, maybe one more question, unless there's other questions from on this film part of the presentation. Before my question, Representative Thompson.
Yes, thank you. Commissioner Bell, you'd mentioned about the grant for the Department of Labor Workforce Development. How does that fit in with the university having a film industry schooling? I mean, is this duplicating what we're doing?
Both of those were added last year. We do not see them as competing because one has the professional side through the university. The other is also learning business through workforce development, whether it's the grips, whether it's the set builders, whether it's people that are actually working behind the cameras, and then those operating the cameras. So I'm saying it's complementary right now. I think it's awful early. The grant was approximately $400,000, and this is the first year in it. And I think once we see some results from that, we'll have a better idea of how complementary the university program is with it.
Yes, please.
Follow up. Yeah, I hate to see us duplicate a program and spend two different pots of money on the same results. The university's got the set design and all of the background behind away from the camera also, so I just want to make sure we don't duplicate what we're doing.
And quite frankly, they were going down parallel courses at the end of last session as far as the university creating the program and the workforce development. It's not something that the Department of Commerce was involved in the development of the processes and how each came into existence.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, maybe one final question on this section of your presentation. Is, you know, the resolution that we just passed today on lessons learned from Norway, there was state direct financial interest. I'm unaware of any legislator interested in where the state would invest in film productions. Has the administration even thought about that?
We had an opportunity just before today's meeting commenced to hear that was it was a thought, and so we haven't had done any analysis on it, but I did have my initial reaction was this industry, we've got a lot of creative talent and we have public taste, and it seems like the marriage of those two could be riskier, but we've done no analysis on it, and if you would like that, we could give it further thought.
We're not asking you to prevent you having thoughts. So but if you could, I see no other questions on the film part of your presentation. If you could continue, please.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Another thing that the Department of, or the Division of Economic Development has been working on is enhanced minerals outreach, promotional material, and teamwork with other agencies. We've just completed a roundup in Vancouver where we'll work closely with the Department of Transportation, the Department of Natural Resources, and ADA, looking at different mining developments and how our four agencies could work closer together to attract that mining, whether it be rare earth in southeast Alaska, or whether it be some of the mineral options in the interior part of Alaska. This department also is successful in securing a STEP grant, which is a state trade and export promotion program offered by the federal government to promote China as small business exports. That grant was worth approximately $300,000, and we're currently implementing it now.
So, Deputy Commissioner, other than exporting the talents of young Sweeney here, which business, small business, do you think have you already identified a good candidate? Maybe not the name, but the type of business?
Well, there's several businesses that could be used for export for China. We're looking at mariculture, for one, the ever-famous gooey duck, making a debut. The other issue is bottled water from Alaska into China. That's a major issue, is drinking water for them. So there are different spectrums from bottled water to mariculture that we're looking at for companies that want to do business in China and how we can assist in developing that and introducing them into the market.
For the record, Representative Gardner has joined us. Good morning. Okay. Please go ahead.
Also within the Division of Economic Development is the implementation of the FY12 Tourism Marketing Program, which Commissioner Bell will speak to in a few minutes. Another item that we've been working very hard in within the division is participating in cross-agent marketing plans. Our marketing partners this year that we work very closely with is the Alaska Grown, Alaska Marine Highway, Alaska Railroad, of course ASME within our department, but in the Made in Alaska program and the Alaska Film program, where we have actually tried with the film program and tourism. We had the opportunity to attend the Big Miracle premiere in Washington, D.C. We followed that up with a luncheon with tourism, U.S. Travel Association, Brand USA, along with about a dozen travel writers, National Geographic, Smithsonian, AARP, Washington Post, who we met with the congressional delegation to try to tie in not only the movie Alaska Seafood and also the tourism industry into it. So we've been pulling those very closely together. We also have the Silver Hand program and also the marketing of our state park and national parks in Alaska for tourism. We've been meeting on a regular basis with those partners and developing concepts, including them in a marketing program for Alaska. The other item that the division has been working on is the Alaska Visitor Statistic Program, as it collects critical information to refine both state marketing and marketing program and to help individual businesses. It tracks the visitor volume, spending, and experience ratings, and previous and future travel plans to Alaska. That should be completed later this month in a draft format and be finalized in the first part of March, is what our target goal is.
So, on this area of your presentation is, of course, Commissioner Bell, there was a memorandum issued by you in early August considering outlining the changes in marketing Alaska. We don't have a QTAA anymore that's running it. Essentially, you are. So what has been the success, and if you could share us what has been the disappointments from what we used to do it and the way we're doing it currently?
Representative Herron, thank you. And I will, at the latter part of the presentation, get into more detail, but I think that what we've really tried to preserve this year is that through the implementation is that engagement with the industry. We've continued to meet at least quarterly with the full marketing committees in the interim. With the marketing committees that have convention and visitor bureaus, destination marketing organizations, and a number of tourism businesses. So we've maintained the engagement. We also fully recognize that it was said right on House Finance floor and on the House floor in the final days of the special session that this was a stopgap measure. So part of our philosophy going into this year was to say, let's implement the program. Let's partner with Alaska Travel Industry Association. We didn't cross funding streams, but we felt it was important to not dismantle Alaska Travel Industry Association or assume the decisions that would be made by the legislature this year. Again, it was the wording was very clear: stopgap. So we, as I said, I've been very engaged in this. Robbie Graham, Special Assistant in the Commissioner's Office, as well as our Division of Economic Development staff, admin services in terms of procurement and contracting, with support from Department of Law. So what was really critical to us is that we, especially with the slide that Curtis will show in just a moment, while we're still recovering from pretty significant losses in independent and cruise traffic, that we'd not miss a beat, that we have everything in place by July 1, and that we were poised for legislative decisions this session. So, again, that the collaboration that was described by Deputy Commissioner Thayer, as well as the industry engagement, has, I think, it's not only continued, but that internal collaboration with state agencies has really grown. And whatever the outcome, I think that those things should be preserved as we go forward. And I also think that the other thing we did as a department was have more of an active role in the planning process, whereas we were more, from a contract management standpoint, approving the plan and observing. We've been more engaged at the table and very involved. And then we take that input. We've used a motto of advise, you know, advise and direct. So we've definitely had industry input, but we've directed the contractors that report to us, and we've made sure that, again, we didn't cross funding streams or didn't create that, make something that was more convoluted. But I think whether we're talking about tourism, the mineral industry, ASME, which has committee structured, it's critical that we're engaged with the private sector. We need to know how to serve them and how to best meet their needs.
Okay. See another. Oh, Representative Gardner.
Thank you. In terms of the private contractors, are we confident that we have a way of measuring the effectiveness of individual programs or individual contractors in terms of increasing tourism?
Representative Gardner, through the chair, we have maintained the Alaska Tourism Marketing Program has been very research-based throughout its different iteration, whether it was implemented back about 20 years ago by the Division of Tourism, when we had the Alaska Tourism Marketing Council, which I, in the mid-90s, was a member of that board, and we still had Division of Tourism conducting some elements of our marketing, or we went into the Qualified Trade Organization arrangement with Alaska Travel Industry Association. There's been a lot of research, whether it's, and I'll talk about one of them in a few moments, the conversion study. We look at the ad placements, and we look at the direct mail lists and go back and see how many inquiries did we generate, how many people actually came to Alaska. There's been that kind of measurement that has been consistent through these different models of implementation, and I think that's very important.
And, Mr. Chair,
please,
will there be more detail as you go through for the specifics?
Representative Gardner, through the chair, I will get into more detail. On how the program unfolded, and also one thing that is before you today is a brochure that we thought was fitting to release in this committee. There's copies outside, and we'll be giving copies to every member of the legislative body today, but it has a little more detail even than what I'll be covering in my PowerPoint, but part of it is to assure people that the program has been implemented this year, and those major components like the vacation planner, the website, the research elements continue.
Thank you. And one last question, Mr. Chair, with your indulgence. Last year, this committee heard a proposal about marketing to Chinese people through their visits to Las Vegas. And this year, I've been contacted by a constituent who believes that the state has a great opportunity in China, that there's tremendous interest in travel and in Alaska and funds, but that the way to capture some of that is to work with travel agents within China who kind of influence how people go. Have we done anything like that? Is there any contemplation of doing it?
Again, Representative Gardner, through the chair, especially when we look at some of the travel habits of our international markets, which include, as you said, China, Japan, South Korea, the UK, Australia, German-speaking Europe, there is much more of a reliance on tour operators and travel agents. And so our marketing efforts focus a lot on not only the travel trade in these markets. We have international contractors. We partner, again, back to the concept of collaborating. ASME has some international contractors. The tourism program does. The airport. And so we work together and communicate and share some resources where it makes sense for the products. We also are very focused on the charter air carriers. And so when you look at Condor drawing from German-speaking Europe, Japan Airlines drawing from that market, Korean Air, which brings passenger service in from South Korea, we also are looking at those tour operators in terms of their ability to fill the charters, because we want to continue to grow that as well. So that's an area where the airports and our office and our tourism contractors are working together. It's a supply and demand issue that has to grow together.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please continue with your presentation.
One of the things that we are seeing as far as visitor volumes from 2006 to 2007 is we saw a decrease from 2008 to 11 of a minus 8.8. We're seeing a modest increase of 1.6. We're clearly still in a recovery mode, and recovery is predominantly in air. However, we do forecast approximately 100,000 new cruise passengers in 2012 and 2013 with continued growth in the independent travelers. These ships are with new deployments and also with larger ships replacing smaller ships. And we're also seeing Disney, who had planned to be in Alaska for 1 year, have increased it to be in there for a second year. They kind of put a toe in the water, and they've enjoyed the experience as their passengers, and we hope to see that increase in the near future.
Representative Guttenberg, you're welcome to join, sit next to me here during this presentation. Please note for the record, Representative Guttenberg has joined us.
And with that, we've moved to Connect Alaska, which is the broadband task force, and that is broadband. What it means for Alaska is to make it possible for every Alaskan to participate in a competitive in a global economy. I mean, whether that be telemedicine, e-learning, or improved communications during emergencies. In 2008, Congress passed the Broadband Data Improvement Act, and Alaska received approximately $6.3 million to fund activities through 2014. The funds initially were to go to the Denali Commission. They were redirected to Connected Nation, and Connect Alaska was formed. Administered out of the Department of, or the Division of Economic Development. The goal, the grant components and the goals is the mapping, Alaska's last mile capability, and maintenance and validation, planning an Alaska Broadband Task Force, application assesses to improve e-government services, technical assistance, local level research on residential business adoption and digital literacy, and community needs assessment and benchmarking. 21 organization groups and agencies each nominated a person to serve on the task force. That would include representatives from the state government, both Senator Pascavan and Representative Herron serve on the broadband task force, as does representatives from GCI, AT&T, ACS. We also have U.S. Rural Development on board, University of Alaska, our members, along with Alaska Federation of Natives, Anchorage Economic Development Corporation. So it's a pretty diverse group, as the members range from all over the spectrum. The task force meets monthly to plan state's broadband's future and infrastructure needs. The goal of the vision statement,
Representative Guttenberg. Sorry.
Thank you. Who's the agency your agency representative on the committee?
Through the chair, Representative Guttenberg, it is Robbie Graham, Special Assistant to the Commissioner.
Okay, thank you.
Please go ahead.
Hello, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Representative Foster.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to, get an update in terms of the progress being made in rural Alaska, where could you point me to?
We can have Robbie Graham be in contact with you.
Okay.
She's currently out of state, but when she gets back, we can make that connection and she can update you.
Okay.
Not a problem.
While we're here, I don't know if it's possible to just to give a real quick, summary in terms of where we are. As far as I know, there's been some work with GCI in terms of going out to Western Alaska, I know, right now, and there's a ring and so forth.
Chairman Herron, or through the chair, Representative Foster. One of the things is there was Terra Southwest, which was completed by GCI, which brought broadband into the Dillingham-Bethel area. They're currently working on what they call Terra Northwest, this being GCI, and that will link up through Nome and Kotzebue. The goal with GCI, they have received funding through the Regulatory Commission of Alaska, administered by the Department of Commerce, for some grant money that was through the federal government to help them with their project. They're right now about 25% grant money, 75% equity, company equity, but their goal is to connect broadband up through rural Alaska all the way up to Barrow, and then there's a fiber optic line that runs down the pipeline. And so basically they will have a circle around rural Alaska, and that's their goal to complete, because if there was ever a problem or a disruption in service, now they have a complete circle, they can pinpoint it, and it won't affect others within the broadband system.
Well, what that?
Go ahead, please.
Timeline? Do you know when the entire ring might be completed?
Through the chair, Representative Foster. That I can get back to you on. I do know that, Terra Southwest was complete. I believe that Terra Northwest is a couple-year project to get everything put into rural Alaska, and then there's a third section to connect it. So I would actually find, I'll get that information for you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Well, it was part of my question stream here, but since we're here at the point, Deputy Commissioner, of course, as everyone knows, you have a little bit of experience back east in D.C., so be honest here. What is your prediction of more funding to complete the ring?
Golden ball.
The chair. or Chairman Aaron. I don't know. You know, funding for this, we were fortunate to have Chairman Jeswick, the chairman of the FCC, up in Dillingham when they were completing Terra Southwest. That was in August. He was very impressed with it. He had a different understanding of what our version of rural Alaska was as we flew out to some of the villages. And I think some of that funding will be looking at coming through FCC. Broadband is a particular interest to him. And so I think we do have an advocate on our side, but as far as where the revenue sources and funding is, I think that's yet to be determined. One thing, I will say, and GCI is the one that's been working on this project. Like I said, they have 75% equity into it. So they already have quite an investment into it from their company's infrastructure into rural Alaska. The federal funding has been, like I said, about 25%. So it hasn't been dependent on making the project a go. I think it has helped speed the project along. But again, I think that's more of a question to have GCI find out for the timing and the actual cost, and for federal dollars. It's just tight back there. But again, we do have a friend within the chairman of the FCC understanding Alaska better.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the question I think that my friend from Nome didn't quite get to is where Bethel now enjoys broadband, and we'd like to see the ring to continue, but do you think the administration and the governor will be more supportive of maybe proposing GF to complete the ring?
That is, Mr. Chair, Chairman Herman, that is something that I would have to defer to the governor's office, and we can get back to you on. That's not something we have discussed with them.
Thank you. Other questions while we're here? Representative Guttenberg.
Thank you, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to sit on the committee. I've sat on meetings with all the private sectors were at the table, but nobody would say anything. And their representatives, when we asked them why you didn't participate afterwards, they said, we were just waiting to see what the other guy was said or made a mistake saying, because it's a very competitive. And in some ways, I see the providers now being a hindrance to actually meeting the state's goal, what the state needs, what the people of the state and the business of the state need for broadband. I mean, I see later on you want to get us up to 100 megawatts. That's not part of their mission statement or their core needs. I mean, they have a business model, and I'm not faulting them for that, but the state has a different one. The state's going to have a role in closing the gaps, because they're not going to want to do it, or they're going to need considerable initiative like the chairman was talking about. When the broadband task force finishes its report, are those recommendations going to be part of that?
Through the chair, Representative Guttenberg. Yes, they will be. I will be up front. There was, when the task force was being created, there was some animosity among the providers of broadband. But we, quite frankly, kicked away one at a time with them. They all eventually joined, and they have been working together on providing information on the middle mile with their own systems. But it is an ongoing competitive concern among those partners. But hopefully through this task force process, we're seeing an improvement. This is the first time in a long time we've gotten them around the table to talk about broadband and what is in the interest of Alaska.
Okay. Good for now.
Yep. Please go ahead, and then I'll have we'll finish this section, then I'll have a question about our neighbors in the Yukon and their presentation to the broadband task force. But please finish up your presentation.
Okay. With the task force vision statement, it was to extend full benefits of broadband technology to every Alaskan. It's to make it possible for every Alaskan to participate and be competitive in a global community. And the goal is by 2020 to have every Alaskan have 100 megabytes broadband connectivity. The draft plan rollout is for the fall of this year. We deliver a plan for future broadband deployment and adoption. Also develop the cost to develop the middle mile infrastructure. Economic development potentials based on the modeling with 100 megabytes. And look at the impacts of e-commerce, e-government services, telemedicine, education, and emergency services. So the task force has a full slate ahead of them, and with the, like I said, with the completion within the next 10 months, and they report due.
Okay, Representative Gardner.
You may have said this and I missed it, but what is middle mile infrastructure?
I will give you the official, through the chair, I'll give you the official definition. Middle mile refers to the distance or connection between the internet service provider and the internet backbone. It consists of one or more carrier networks that have the internet traffic from the access point to the final destination. In most states it's less than a mile, but in Alaska it's commonly 100 miles.
Thank you.
I asked Don Humphrey, he's in private sector in telecommunications in the Yukon, to make a presentation to the task force, and he did. And so, at least I know Robbie's not here, but is Commissioner, I guess what I'm saying is I think it's important that we strengthen our relationship with the Yukon. And much to my surprise, when I visited the Yukon and other committee members, is they literally every, granted their population is tiny compared to ours, but every house in the Yukon has broadband. And so how can we strengthen that relationship and include the Yukon in our ring?
Through the chair, we'll have to get back to you because the ring that was done would be completed with TAPS, with the fiber optic. And so as far as to the east of that, that is something we'll get back to you on.
Yeah, I think the way we get in is through the southeast, but I look forward to that. So seeing nothing else on broadband, I'll make a comment on your slide. The woman is saving him from doing something dangerous, huh?
Well, if I may jump into this, I think the Yukon is a nice segue because when we're talking about our highway transportation system, how the marine highway feeds, you know, we have a connection through BC and Yukon back into Alaska. We talk about the independent markets, those air carriers, the international charter carriers I was talking about. There's a lot on the visitor industry that is connected. And anyway, I think it's an excellent point that recently with Premier's visit to Governor Parnell, with Penware's visit to the legislature and the administration, I think we should be looking to our neighbors more often. So thank you for that, raising that point. So we've covered some of this in the previous section because Division of Economic Development has been part of our implementation. As I mentioned, in the final days of the special session, House Finance had put $12 million into the budget. It was directed to the Department of Commerce to implement the program rather than funding through the Qualified Trade Organization. At that time, we were in mid-May. We contacted the Alaska Travel Industry Association immediately to say, I have a vision on how we can go forward. We also, recognizing at that time, Alaska Travel Industry Association, not anticipating this change, had sold ads in the Vacation Planner for the 2012 program. So we recognized that was a specific message that was being given to both ATI and the department, that the industry was important, it was an increase in funding for those who may be less familiar. For the past several years, the state funding has been $9 million. Last year, it was $16 million from a combination of fund sources, and this year it was $12 million. So, again, back to that slide that, Deputy Commissioner Thayer ended with, we had a significant drop in over a two-year period of nearly 265,000 visitors. Our economic analysis showed us that was about the equivalent of 5,000 Alaska jobs. And as was mentioned, we're seeing in the air initially some incremental recovery, and we know because of the cruise deployments of some larger growth this year and in subsequent years. But we are still definitely in a period of recovery. So back to the legislature directed $12 million for the FY12 marketing program to the department. We began immediately a lot of intensive meetings looking at the program and to figure out what would make sense for the department to contract for directly with that $12 million and for ATIA with the $2.7 million that they raised largely through vacation planner ad sales and website ad sales, what would be complementary for the program. And so, as you can see on this slide, the contracts that we retained or were transferred to us by July 1 were the advertising contracts, media relations, website fulfillment, which is industry jargon for mailing. We have a contract with a mail house that mails the vacation planners, the reach brochures, the direct mail pieces. There's 1.3 million letters that go out to prospective visitors. So, again, it's not just the postage, but it's storing all of it, matching up the databases. So, again, that's our fulfillment contract and research. We developed, again, walking into uncharted territory, wanting to be sure that we were doing the best for Alaska and Alaska businesses. We set about looking at what would make sense for implementation on the state side, as well as the Alaska Travel Industry Association, and by the dollar amounts drove a lot of this decision making. ATIA retained contracts for FY12 for travel trade and international. That's about $1.2 million. And we committed to what I mentioned a few moments ago, that industry engagement and marketing committee participation. And again, we changed our role where we were sitting as part of the marketing committee in a planning effort. But I had said we had kind of an approach going into this that's reflected in this MOU, which is confer, advise, and direct. We wanted, again, not to cross funding streams, but to make sure that we were looking at the marketing program for this year being a stopgap year as a system and sharing information.
Representative Olson, then Representative Gardner. Question?
Oh, thanks, Mr. Chair. Susan, out of the $12 million that you're currently getting, is there a fee that's going to you or a service fee or similar to DOT? Are you keeping a percentage of it for administrative costs, or how are you handling that?
Through the chair, Representative Olson, no, we are not. And on this next slide, this is in rough amounts, rounded to the closest $1,000, the cost estimates for these major components, and I'll go through it. And part of what we're doing is it took significant engagement by myself, Special Assistant Robbie Graham, Deputy Commissioner Thayer's participated in some of the planning and events, our Division of Economic Development staff. We didn't add staff. We didn't add overhead. If we continue in this going forward, again, not presuming legislative outcome, we would need to transfer some of the commissioner's office engagement, and think about are there staffing needs? But we just felt that going forward that we could put that $12 million out in the marketplace, and part of it is I think some of the unique background of the staff that we have. Including Division of Economic Development Director Juanetta Ayers, several of our tourism development staff, including Carol McConkie, who has managed the QTA contract, and both Robbie Graham and myself, who, among other industries, have worked directly in this industry in various capacities. So I think we were uniquely poised to be able to do this. Going forward, I would not anticipate, if if the legislature chooses to have DCCD have a role like this going forward, I think we need to think about the structure. But again, from a, I think it's a nice segue to this slide. I mentioned the major contracts and how it broke down in terms of dollars. The advertising contract is implemented by Bradley Reed at $7.8 million. This includes kind of, I think, a lot of the workhorses of this program, and there'll be some detail in a moment on what we bought for this money. But this is the production of Vacation Planner, production and placement of the television ads, which, back to my point about $16 million and $12 million, we have resumed a presence on television that we didn't have, or we had a very, very modest presence previously. So television ads, print ads, the direct mail campaign, which consists of purchasing lists from highly, you know, high potential visitors, as well as the Vacation Planner, the Reach brochure, which is a smaller piece that has less planning information and is directed to people who have expressed interest but don't seem to be as far along in the decision process. So again, the advertising contract is the most sizable contract. That $1.3 million, this is the, again, the fulfillment of the Vacation Planner, the Reach brochure, and the direct mail pieces. Public relations is also a very significant element of the marketing program. It's also an area where, as we've been speaking this morning about our collaboration with ASME, with Alaska Grown, with State Parks, with Silver Hand, it's one of the areas where, without detracting from the tourism program and frankly really augmenting it, we've showcased some of our sister agencies through our public relations efforts and events. Website includes not only the hosting and upgrade of content, but we're also working on a Korean language conversion. We have Japanese and German now. We also work, tying into our Canadian partners, we work collaboratively with the Yukon and BC and Alberta through North to Alaska program and a joint Alaska-Canada program. Research, the vast majority of what's reflected in this budget component is the conversion study. Again, kind of industry jargon, but it's looking at all of those direct mail lists and ad placements and tracking how many inquiries do we get, but also going back and through a contract with a firm that specializes in this, going back and sampling a portion of it to see, did you really come and what did you spend? We have some in-state marketing efforts, which are targeted at bring friends and relatives, use our planning tools, and then opportunities and contingency. These were, when we developed the MOU, our initial breakdowns. We've deployed some of this opportunities, including the State of Alaska sponsored a luncheon at the National Travel Association Conference, the premiere that Deputy Commissioner Thayer was discussing, concurrent with Big Miracle, knowing that there was going to be a lot of media and attention on Alaska. We built on that and highlighted tourism and seafood. We're currently working with the airport and the Ted Stevens International Airport System folks and the tourism industry trying to target Icelandic Air. So again, some of the opportunities and contingency have been deployed, but I wanted for consistency with the MOU to be able to describe this in broad brush.
A follow-up? No, I'd just like to thank you. I appreciate the way that you're handling the money. Actually, it was not the answer I was expecting, but I'm extremely pleased you made my day.
Okay. Representative Gardner.
Thank you. And I think you pretty much answered the question I was going to ask, but just to be certain about this, there was a reference to 5,000 Alaskan jobs lost during the downturn in tourism, and it's climbing back up. So my question is, in terms of the contracts that you're putting out, have you focused on trying to use Alaskan companies? Bradley Reed is one such, and that's got the bulk of the money, but what about the other ones where possible?
Through the chair, Representative Gardner, we do, in using the state's procurement policies, do have preferences for Alaskan companies. In addition to Bradley Reed, whose name I specifically mentioned, the media relations company is an Alaskan firm. That's Thompson & Company. Our the website contractor and the research contractor and the fulfillment contractors are out of state. But again, the two of the larger chunks are definitely Alaska contractors.
Thank you.
Representative Tuck.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On the advertising portions of it, you know, the investments that we're making, how do we know on the return on investment? What's the time period? And how many hits does it? Is there a number of hits that we have to hit somebody before they decide to travel to Alaska? And from the first time they see something to the last time, in other words, if they see a TV ad, are they on the plane the next day, or are they here 2 years later, or what's that time frame? Because it's hard to be able to determine if the effects of what happened this year wasn't from 3 years ago.
Through the chair, Representative Tuck, that is one of the things that we measure with a conversion study, where we recognize not everybody that sees our materials this year is going to travel the next year. So part of what we track is in the subsequent years. And off the top of my head, I don't have the results, but I think if you're interested in that follow-up, we can do a synopsis of some of that data. But we do track. And the other thing is that it's definitely a system. And, you know, we a couple of things that we rely on, and I know some of you who are familiar with parts of the program have heard this. We have what I would say is a modest marketing program. I think our seafood marketing program through ASME and our tourism marketing program, they're very sound programs, but we definitely know that there are states and countries that are higher. So we rely, as a result of this budget, on a lot of public relations, a lot of direct mail, and as I mentioned, with the increased budgets in last year and this year, we're able to increase our visibility on TV. And so there's a little bit of give and take when you're looking at a program that is a small or a modestly or medium budget, then some of the things drive people more towards the trip planning tools like the website and the vacation planner. But it's important to make sure that we're out there increasing awareness. There's another study I didn't mention specifically, but it's done periodically, called Images. And that's a national study that looks at what the market potential is for Alaska. And we saw that constricting. I mean, we're still in the $20 million range, and we look at high potential visitors and what their characteristics are. It helps us match where we place our ads, help us match what direct mail lists we buy. We want to look at our actual visitors and people that say that they have Alaska's top of mind. But you have to keep investing in that awareness, or you're diminishing the pool. Which,
Representative Tuck and Representative Thompson after that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And then on the awareness part of it, now on the tax credits, on the film tax credits, you said that we were $9.6 million last year. Is that the correct number, or what's the $9.6 million?
Through the chair, Representative Tuck, the $9.6 million represents a big miracle.
Just a big miracle. And then and how are we able to measure awareness, and where people get that awareness from? Is there a way of doing that?
And through the chair, Representative Tuck, the part of the Images study gets at a sense of not only people's awareness, but what they associate Alaska with and the desirability. And I think we've talked about the earlier in this conversation about the reality TV shows, and whether you're panning for gold or you're flying around Bush, Alaska, or there's so many different ways. That I think it's really important to recognize that helps, I think, showcase that Alaska is unique in terms of our geography, our culture, our challenges. Part of what we have with a marketing program is a very planned approach to the message, and we control it. And so I want to draw a distinction there, but without diminishing from the fact that it does increase our awareness. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
A measuring tool would be how many hits are on your Facebook.
Representative Thompson. Thank you. Out of curiosity, I was just curious. I know that over the last couple of years, tour companies have reduced their fees trying to fill up the ships, and that also then had an effect on land cruises after the cruise was over, which affects the interior and Bush, Alaska, Nome. Do you have a way to track how many people used to take the land cruise that were on ships compared to today?
Through the chair, Representative Thompson, with the Alaska Visitor Statistics full report coming out in draft form in the coming weeks, we'll have another excellent picture of what our market is. It also includes where people traveled, what percent of people participated in land tours, and you're exactly right that when in a weak market situation, what we see is not only fewer cruise passengers and lower prices, but the ships move more towards round-trip cruising in Southeast, so people didn't even, fewer people had the opportunity even to add a day or a few pre- or post-cruise. And so what we're seeing as part of the recovery on the cruise side is not only an increase in volume, but a return to some of those cross-Gulf voyages, which then are positioned for land tour packages that might be offered by the cruise line. We also have independent tour operators in the state like Premier and others that some of their clientele, they're Alaska-based companies, and some of their clientele are cruise. And then people spend time on their own in the state. And one of the things I've noticed from having starting at the Travelers Inn in Fairbanks in the 80s, watching this industry, there's a change not only in the average age, which has declined, but a change in activity participation. And when some of these cruise passengers are traveling around the state on their own in a rental car or an RV or staying with friends or relatives, they become virtually indistinguishable from other visitors. They used to stand out more.
Hey, it's my intent to gavel out in 5 minutes, but before we leave this part of it, is though I'm just slightly younger than Representative Thompson, I'm not really into social media personally. And so, how is Alaska Tourism Marketing going to become hip in getting awareness to people that use social media a lot?
Well, if I may, we can go quickly through these slides that you can see advertising, briefly highlighted the 24 full-page ads in national magazines, smaller ads in national magazines, and these range from National Geographic, Traveler, Smithsonian, AARP publications, again, a spectrum of the market, and we test them. Significant increase in our television presence. In terms of quantities, advertising component includes 450,000 vacation planners, 200,000 reach brochures, 100,000 North to Alaska guides, which is our partnership with the Yukon and Canadian provinces, and the direct mail pieces and updating some of our photography. If we move to the public relations slides, this is where we highlight again, some of that media activity, which here in the photo we featured one of the premier activities that we did this last year. Often we try to package in something big. The year before it was a Paula Deen, a collaboration with ASME. But in addition to the Today Show being here, we had a number of other stories, including Media Roadshow, which is a fall event that a lot of Alaska businesses and communities participate in. Deputy Commissioner Thayer mentioned this recent D.C. event. We're weeks away now from a New York media trip that'll be in early March. And this year, again, we're collaborating with ASME, but we're bringing in something new, which is an Alaska cooking competition. We want to see people feature Alaska seafood and Alaska-grown products. The e-newsletter, and then as Representative Heron just mentioned, social media. I think that for both ASME and Alaska Tourism Industry, we have take a very measured approach towards social media, but we've been participating in it. We have a Facebook page. We do tweets. We do we upload. And part of it is that we think this is something that you need to you need to understand. You need to evolve. And also, we're very cognizant of what our target market is, but we don't want to be left out as people's habits change. So, again, tourism has been slowly evolving, as has been ASME. Some of this ties into our web presence as well, but again, social media is so much more than that. But as I wrap up quickly here, we have the TravelAlaska.com website. It's a complement to the Vacation Planner, but of course so much more content. In addition to the unique monthly visits, 600,000, we use this to capture emails and send out e-newsletters. We also, I was moving through it quickly, so I didn't mention, we also send out an e-news to journalists, and that list is about 650,000. Japanese and German website. We have the content translated, and as I mentioned, we're working on Korean. And with this ongoing theme of collaboration with our state agencies, we specifically contracted for upgrading content on our state marketing partners, our cultural information, and heritage tourism. Last two slides an element of the program has been travel trade and events. Travel trade and international are contracts managed by Alaska Travel Industry Association, but there's crossover in terms of the number of travel shows that we went to. Deputy Commissioner Thayer participated in a U.S.-China tourism summit. It was actually held in Hawaii. Should I wrap?
Is that Scott Kawasaki there?
It was held in Hawaii, and one of the things we came back from that saying we should invite this forum to Alaska in the near future. I had a chance to participate with with Commissioner Lucan on a trade mission in early November that was to China and South Korea. Again, we brought together our tourism, ASVI, international airports, and they relate, of course, so much together. We're currently on a trade mission to Iceland and UK, bring together the state travel offices. And the last slide is just some of the things that are upcoming. Winter press trip featuring the Yukon Quest, Verandi, and Iditarod, the New York media event that I mentioned a few slides ago, a new mobile app. ASME has one. The tourism program will have one. The Korean language website content will be updated. And back to that engagement, we're working on planning for the FY13 program.
Okay, questions from Representative Gardner.
I like the slogan on the last slide, Alaska always in season. That's kind of good.
Very good, yeah. I appreciate rolling out the tourism marketing campaign in this committee, and my office will promote it and have copies available for all of my guests, visitors to my office. So thank you very much. Seeing no other questions, thank you, Commissioner Bell, Deputy Commissioner Thayer. We're adjourned at 11:40.